It's just past 3 a.m. A 33-year-old woman with tattoos on both arms and big hoop earrings drives a blue Dodge truck with the windows down. She has an interesting nickname for herself. It's La Gordiloca, the fat, crazy lady.
My truck is called the Blue Demon. It's my ride-or-die truck. I'm not going to say it's the perfect truck. It's all ripped from the roof, and the dashboard is all broken, and there's this annoying beep that never shuts up, and I don't know what it is.
She's one of the only drivers on the empty streets of Laredo, Texas. The yellow streetlights cast an amber spotlight on her face as she drives down one of the main avenues. Every day, when the sun goes down, La Gordiloca cruises through the streets of Laredo looking for action, shootings, immigration raids, car accidents, violent crime scenes.
And then there's times where I get messaged by just regular citizens of Laredo letting me know that, you know what, there's something going on in whatever part of town. Can you come and report? And I'll just head that way.
And when something actually happens, she gets as close to the scene as she can and then live streams video to her 85,000 Facebook followers.
At this time, there is an accident. A young man driving under the influence of alcohol.
A lady was basically hit by a vehicle.
Aquí la Gordiloca reportándose. Bueno, bye.
Soy Ángel del Villar.
Yo soy Ángel del Villar.
Yo soy la Gordiloca.
Yo soy la Gordiloca.
From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA, I'm Maria Hinojosa. We head to Laredo, Texas, to meet one of the most controversial figures in town. Today on our show, Living La Gordiloca. And just so everyone is warned, this episode does contain some bad words, which we have bleeped. And in the studio now is Andres Caballero. Hey, Andres.
Hi, Maria.
So, okay, La Gordiloca doesn't sound like such a nice name in English because it's basically fat and crazy.
Yeah, in English, not so much. But in Spanish, it has sort of this friendly and loving connotation to it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think anyone in Latin America has an aunt or an uncle who's mi tía gorda, mi tío gordo, and it's out of love. In the U.S., not necessarily.
Not so much.
Okay, so tell us, how did you start reporting this story?
So I came across an article on the Texas Monthly magazine. They referred to La Gordiloca as one of the most relied upon and most viewed news sources in Laredo.
A news source?
Yes. And another thing that really intrigued me was that the Laredo Police Department had filed a lawsuit against her, which is part of the interesting thing about this story, and we'll get to that later.
Okay.
So one thing that really intrigued me about her was that she seemed to be pushing the boundaries of freelance reporting. She has a very unfiltered style to her. So I went to Laredo, Texas, because I wanted to see her in action myself. Once I get to Laredo, La Gordiloca picks me up at my hotel in her massive blue truck for a nighttime ride-along. Within hours of driving around, she sees something and springs into action. It's an accident, right outside of a McDonald's. And before long, we see them. Three police cars in the parking lot. She immediately pulls up to the scene, grabs her iPhone, and starts writing the caption for the video that she's about to live stream on Facebook.
We are just arriving at the scene. We're about to record live.
It seems like a truck just crashed into the front entrance of the McDonald's. The scene is pretty calm, but the front of the truck is smashed in, and there's shattered glass all over the entrance. La Gordiloca, though, puts on her best reporter voice and carries on Facebook Living.
As I was saying, at this moment, there is an accident here inside the parking lot at McDonald's by San Bernardo and Colton Road. I don't think nobody was injured at this moment, but the truck went into the front entrance, almost going through the front entrance, just hit the wall. So at this time, this is all the information I have for you. Aquí La Gordiloca, reportándose. Buenas noches.
La Gordiloca considers herself a freelance reporter. But like I said, she has never had any professional training, nor has she ever worked for a news organization. She says she doesn't make any money from it. To get by, she manages a dance studio and sometimes works for a towing company.
Yeah.
Driving around with La Gordiloca feels like you're with some sort of celebrity. People honk when they see her truck. Sometimes she even gets out to take pictures with them. People here are pretty friendly, and they mostly speak to each other in Spanish. Almost 96% of Laredo residents are Latino. The city sits right on the border with Mexico, along the Rio Grande, and it has one of the highest murder rates of any city on the Texas border. A lot of that comes from being on a main corridor for drug and human trafficking. So there's always plenty of news for La Gordiloca to cover.
We have crime rates, and we're a border city to Mexico, so we might have a little bit of more activity with border crossing and drugs and whatnot.
She's been doing this for almost 2 years, and by now, she has almost as many social media followers as Laredo's largest daily newspaper, partly because of her direct, some might say crass, approach to delivering information.
When it comes down to news, whether it be accidents, I don't sugarcoat anything. My stories are unedited, raw news.
And her fans love her rawness above all. She's even been the source of inspiration for a song by a local Chicano hip-hop artist.
The first on the scene, La Gordiloca, la reportera de Laredo, La Gordiloca, haciendo pa' su gente, es La Gordiloca.
Alex Martinez, a.k.a. Wise MTZ, is the guy who wrote that song. He says that La Gordiloca has become more than a well-known figure around town. Her name comes up at people's dinner conversations. Sometimes, it even causes arguments.
In the same family, you have somebody who loves her and somebody who hates her. La Gordiloca is that much of a tricky situation or conversation that your own family will be against you. It's like a civil war, you know? You got your brother on one side and your other brother on the other side of the opinion floor.
It's like talking about politics.
Yeah, it really is.
But way before she was La Gordiloca, she was just Priscila Villarreal. When she was 13, she joined the Sheriff's Department's Explorers, where she and other kids explored the possibility of one day becoming a sheriff's deputy. A few years later, she dropped out of that. Then out of high school, and eventually, she ran away from home.
I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money on my own, so I started slanging.
I was young, I was in jail, and I remember having to see my mom in juvenile hall and hugging her from a jail cell. And she was struggling. My parents were struggling to make ends meet. Back then, at that time, when I was younger, I was dealing drugs, and I can relate to the song. And I would always relate to Tupac since I was a kid. Most of the things that he sings in his music is most of the things that I've been through. And I would always say, if you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day.
When she was in her teens, she was arrested for possession of marijuana, cocaine, and a firearm.
I've had my share of messing up during my teenage years, and I've cleaned myself up, basically.
And what sparked her to clean up was losing her baby daughter over 8 years ago. Her baby was born prematurely, lived only for 4 hours, and died in her arms.
So when I got out of the hospital, I basically went to my local church, and there's a chapel outside with the Virgin Mary, and I went there and basically took it out on her. And I said the most horrific words you could imagine. And I said, if I asked you for her, why did you take her away? And I went inside my house, and everything that was religious to me, I threw it away in the garbage.
And that's where she hit rock bottom. For the next couple of years, she went into a deep depression.
I tried to commit suicide 3 times. By slitting my wrist, by putting a bag over my head and duct taping my head.
She finally admitted that she could no longer cope with it all. So she drove herself to a mental hospital and asked for help.
After the fact, I decided, you know what, in memory of my child, I'm going to start helping the community, doing more for my community and helping people out, the people in need.
She still carries the painful memories tattooed on her arms. On her left arm, she has the footprints of her daughter's feet when she was born. It took several years for La Gordiloca to recover from the death of her baby. Her life had become aimless, and she was looking for a purpose. something to help her move beyond the trauma. And then, one day, something tragic happened in her neighborhood. She said she could hear the sirens and emergency vehicles speeding past her house.
When I saw that, I rushed to get dressed and put my shoes on and get my keys. And two blocks from our home, we saw the scene of a hostage situation.
At this time, she had no idea what she was walking into. And never did she suspect that what she was about to witness would give birth to her life's calling. She parked across the street from the house where the cops were gathered.
And I started asking questions like, hey, what's going on? And I remember this lady said, there's a hostage situation.
Detective Baeza, the spokesman for the Laredo Police Department, was also at the scene that day.
The entire subsection of the neighborhood was completely surrounded by SWAT team and emergency response from various different agencies, including ours.
A man was holding two little girls and an old man hostage inside their home. Police were still assessing what to do when La Gordiloca sprung into action.
I started recording, and all of a sudden you could hear gunshots ring. Everybody dropped to the floor, and I still kept on recording.
He shot the baby.
I saw a female police officer carrying a six-year-old little girl with her limp body.
New on the night beat, three people are dead, including two girls, following a standoff in Laredo. It happened this afternoon.
She went home and uploaded the video to her personal Facebook page. She didn't edit anything. Whatever she saw, her Facebook followers also saw.
I basically uploaded those videos into Facebook, not knowing that it was going to cause a lot of controversy in my city. It basically got almost 1 million views in less than 4 hours.
Almost immediately, people started messaging her, asking her to take down the video. The fact that she posted the video online and showed the faces of the victims, some people didn't like that. They found it unethical, and so did the police.
We didn't take immediate notice there until afterwards when some of the footage started showing up on social media.
Detective Baeza was pretty shocked when he watched that video.
What you're saying is going to have a lasting impression on people about somebody else. It's a real person, and they have real families and real consequences for them.
I mean, from then to now, I have cleaned it up a little bit. And when it comes down to graphic scenes, I also try and respect the families of the deceased, et cetera. I'm not going to lie. At first, I would post pictures. I would post raw video.
As traumatic as the hostage situation was, especially since she had also lost a daughter years prior, all the attention her video received gave her this boost of confidence. And it gave her a sense of purpose. After the hostage crisis video went viral, a local radio station invited her to come on air. During the interview, the host suddenly decided that she needed a nickname. They brainstormed a bit until she finally came up with something. And that was the birth of La Gordiloca. Soon after, she started trawling the streets of Laredo, looking for more crimes to report on. And she found them. A shooting.
It's a two-door Chevy.
The end of a police chase.
Basically hit by a vehicle here.
The more videos she made, the more followers she gained.
So let me go. Let me get on that side.
You're first on the scene, so you're the one that's reporting it and doing it in such a normal person point of view.
That's Alex, the guy who wrote the song about her and one of her fans.
You kind of feel like if, you know, they're your little homegirl or they're your cousin, they're your tia or somebody, part of the family that already knows what happened within the city.
It's that familial and unfiltered style of reporting that many people in Laredo seem to relate to and trust. And because the community trusts her, she often scoops professional journalists and even the police.
Is it true that you get to the crime scenes sometimes before they do?
Yes, it is. But it's not because of anything. It's because people let me know, like, hey, there was gunshots fired outside my house at this address. So I would head that way before even the police would get there.
From her first video post, La Gordiloca got on the radar of the Laredo police. But for a long time, there was little that they could do about it. Sure, it annoyed them. But she was more of a thorn on their side, the same way that any crime scene reporter gets on the police's nerves. except they didn't really seem to view her as an actual journalist.
There is a lot of people that are there because they're entertained, because of what I do and how I am. It's the chisme that attracts people.
By chisme, she means the gossip, the scoop, the entertainment.
There's things that I report that local news won't report because they have a higher power that tells them, like, hey, you can't put this, that can be put out there. But I don't have nobody that tells me what I can and can't put.
And part of La Gordiloca's relatability is that she didn't talk like the journalists on TV.
When I'm reporting news, I'll say a bad word here and there depending on the situation. Like if there's a shooting, I'll be like, holy f***er, holy s***. But I've tried to clean up the way I speak when I'm reporting.
As she became more and more popular, parents even started reaching out to her for help when their kids or a loved one would go missing.
Within 3-4 hours, they're found. I think the longest was maybe a day, but I mean, they eventually come back home.
Meanwhile, La Gordiloca kept chasing stories. After all, even if some didn't like her crass and unfiltered style, many did. And she wasn't technically doing anything that could get her in trouble until last summer.
Coming up on Latino USA, La Gordiloca unleashes more of her social media powers over Laredo. But this time, there are consequences. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Hello, just dropping in to remind you about Here and Now. We cover the day's most essential news with context so you know the why and what's next. A fast-paced snapshot of the world every day. Listen to Here and Now on NPR One or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, we're back. And before we left off, Laredo, Texas had given birth to its new social media quasi-journalist sensation, La Gordiloca. But as La Gordiloca rose and rose in popularity, things started to happen that would eventually get her into trouble. Our producer, Andres Caballero, picks up this story now.
We are tracking Hurricane Harvey, a Category 1 storm that is growing quickly.
And double-digit rainfall totals and some nearly apocalyptic.
Headed directly for the Texas coast.
Harvey. Last summer, as Hurricane Harvey approached the coast of Texas, La Gordiloca knew she had to step up her reporting. She got word from a source who worked on the oil fields that there would be a major gas shortage and that by the end of the week, there would be no more gas at all in Laredo.
I put it out there on my page without thinking that it was going to cause a chaos in our city. There was about 7 block lines of vehicles waiting to put gas. There was gas shortages all over the city. We basically ran out of gas.
Right now you can see basically all the pumps here are full of cars. We believe this all stems from a social media
post. City and state officials are reassuring the community that rumors about gas shortages are simply not true. It all comes as...
I mean, everybody was really mad. I was really mad too because she scared everybody. You know, make it seem like there was going to be no gas whatsoever.
Ricardo Barrera is a Lyft driver. So he was not happy that day.
So everybody was in a panic. It was taking 1 to 2 hours to go fill up your gas tank. The gas prices went up, waited for hours trying to get gas. She wasted everybody's time and it was a lie. And, you know, that's what pissed people off. It's like, get your sources straight. Whatever you're seeing, just at least let it be honest. You know, I was mad. I was one of them. I had to pay probably like $75 extra per gallon more. Has she not done that?
So to be clear, there was going to be a slowdown in the delivery of gas. But not an actual shutdown. Her post, though, caused people to think that there would be no more gas at all. So once the long lines began to form at the gas stations, the owners just hiked up the prices.
It caused a substantial reaction, not only apparently in our community, but other surrounding communities, even as far up north as San Antonio, from what I understand.
The Laredo police had to figure out how to put people at ease.
I had to go myself on social media and make a live video post indicating that there would be a slowdown in the delivery of gas, but that there wouldn't be just a complete shutdown of delivery of gas.
And then I was blamed for it in San Antonio as well. I mean, it was going to happen, but it happened quick in less than a day when I put it out there. So I'll admit I probably did up. Well, I'm being honest. I did mess it up, and there was a gas shortage.
That wasn't the only time that summer that her post pissed off Laredo police. She also put out information about a man who had, quote, an urge to kill children near an elementary school. Police had already arrested the man, but La Gordiloca's report caused parents to desperately race through the city to pick up their kids, creating a lot of chaos. Eventually, this trend of errors and unconventional reporting started to sour some people. A Facebook group called Say No to La Gordiloca sprung up online. One of the posts reads,
La Gordiloca has to be stopped. There is nothing professional or credible about what she does. Does someone who is a professional reporter yell profanities? I believe that my 2-year-old nephew acts more mature than her.
Someone else commented,
Thanks to you guys, she's getting more attention. Ignore her and she'll just fade away.
I have gotten a lot of haters. My haters are my motivators, and they're the ones that keep me going. I mean, they want to shut me down, and it's not going to happen.
And then, of course, there's the next level type of insults, where they attack her appearance, her weight. Her fans will often come out and try to defend her from her trolls. Alejandro is La Gordiloca's husband. He says he avoids social media because he finds it too hard to deal with the insults.
Well, yeah, it burns you up, you know, because they're insulting her. You fat pig, overweight hog, you know what I mean? Fat cow or whatnot, insults. She's my wife, she's my old lady. If she's in the right, she's in the wrong, I gotta stand by her side, you know what I mean?
And there's other people that, when the things are going rough, basically message me and say the reasons why I should not give up.
To help minimize all the hate and the mistakes, La Gordiloca asked her friend Marisa Limón, a reporter at Univision, to mentor her. She says one piece of advice that she always gives La Gordiloca is to check everything, to be careful not to affirm something that isn't confirmed yet, because sometimes it's false.
Now, if I get some type of information, I'll just try and verify the information before posting so that type of incidents won't happen again.
By that time, her efforts to become a less incendiary reporter wouldn't help her very much. 4 months before the gas shortage chaos that she caused, she did something that would get her into actual legal trouble. In April of 2017, La Gordiloca published the name of a U.S. Customs and Border Protection employee who had committed suicide by jumping off a bridge. She published the name on Facebook before the local police or the family did. Local authorities were not happy. Last December, the police charged La Gordiloca with 2 counts of misuse of official information, which is a third-degree felony, for revealing the name of the Border Patrol employee who had killed himself, and for another incident in which she released the name of a family involved in a fatal car crash. Ricardo, the Lyft driver from earlier, remembers this as the moment that made him fully anti-Gordiloca.
She showed up to the scene and she let out his name without asking the permission of the family. The family was very upset because, you know, it's something that they're hurting. Now the whole world knows. And, you know, the mother, the father, the wife, the kids, the brothers and sisters, they're very angry because, I mean, that's very insensitive. How can you go and do that?
A day after finding out that she had 2 warrants for her arrest, La Gordiloca decided to turn herself in.
The morning I woke up, I got dressed. I drove to the police department with my husband, and I was basically started recording live, and I was letting everybody know that, hey, I'm turning myself in. I'm on my way to the Laredo Police Department.
Voy a entregar, mijito. Voy para la comandancia.
I got off my truck and I basically walked into the police department and basically looked like a damn circus. There was police officers that I had been into it with on the second floor recording, taking pictures.
After being escorted in and getting processed, she was let out on bond. I caught up with Joey Tellez, one of La Gordiloca's attorneys, who's defending her against the charges.
Can you tell me where the First Amendment comes into the picture?
The First Amendment is involved in every aspect of this case. The statute that they're using to prosecute Ms. Villarreal is vague as well as overbroad.
He says the police are basing their charges on a Texas law, which makes it a crime to simply ask for or receive information from authorities, like police officers, that hasn't yet been made public. And if the person who releases the information benefits from it in any way, for example, by gaining Facebook followers, it is also potentially illegal.
And it violates her First Amendment rights to free speech and freedom of the press. And arresting her for releasing that information infringes on her ability to release information and be a member of the press.
What La Gordiloca's defense is arguing is that she should be considered a journalist. Journalists cannot be told what not to publish. Essentially, the attorney says that this is a form of censorship.
She used her Facebook Live page as a forum for her to criticize the police department because they have a history of being heavy-handed with suspects. They have a history of being rude to citizens and witnesses. I think it's pretty obvious that they have gone after her and they've attempted to silence her.
I think that maybe they find that I am maybe a threat to them because I'm there recording live and people are watching.
The Laredo police obviously see this differently. Here's Detective Baeza.
There is no validity to a claim that we have tried to silence anybody ever here at this police department. She and anyone else who's out there with a platform as loud a bullhorn as social media is free to lend her opinions, her criticisms, her distastes, if you will, of law enforcement.
Since the investigation is still pending, the Laredo police did not want to go into details with me. But they did say that La Gordiloca appears to have had an insider in the department who may have leaked her the name of the public employee who killed himself. That officer is currently on leave.
A lot of journalists depend on information from insiders in agencies and also the police departments. Why is this case a little bit different?
It's a little bit different because of the sense that there was very essential law enforcement sensitive information.
It's worth noting that under federal and most state laws, releasing the name of a public employee is not illegal. And it's also extremely rare for prosecutors to go after reporters who publish information prematurely. Detective Baeza seemed keen on making sure that he didn't give La Gordiloca too much credit.
We at the police department have much bigger fish to fry. We arrest a few thousand people every year here.
While I drove back to my hotel, an update on La Gordiloca's case came up on one of the local radio stations. Laredo seems to be following the case very closely. If things don't go her way, La Gordiloca could face up to 10 years in prison.
So we're about to head out with La Gordiloca on her nightly round.
On one of our night drives, La Gordiloca decides to go by one of her favorite taco places that's run by two of her friends. It's past 2 a.m., and they're singing corridos. One of the guys composed a song for their taco place, so she asked him to write one about La Gordiloca. Tonight is a particularly busy night for her. Tomorrow morning, she'll be rolling down Laredo's main avenue on a float. The occasion? The George Washington Parade. It's the biggest event of the year in Laredo, in which this almost entirely Latino city pulls out all the stops to celebrate George and Martha Washington. To non-Laredoans, this celebration seems pretty random.
I still don't know the reason why we celebrate George Washington, which I think we should celebrate like Pancho Villa or somebody of that nature, but...
We drive to the spot where her volunteers are working around the clock to have the float decorated by sunrise.
You want to describe your float real quick?
My float is basically having to do with the Ten Amendments, freedom of speech, freedom of press, the freedoms that we have here in the United States, right? So my point to my float is about the freedom that was taken away from me when I got arrested.
Tomorrow at the parade, La Gordiloca will make a statement. She will emerge from the cell phones and computer screens where people normally encounter her and make herself seen and heard in the flesh, reminding her city that she's fighting her case and that she doesn't plan on going anywhere.
So it's 8:30 a.m. So I'm here walking along the main street where all the floats are waiting to take off from in about 30 minutes. And I'm looking for La Gordiloca's float.
The parade is supposed to start in less than an hour, and her float is nowhere to be found. So while I wait, I decide to talk to a group of teenagers who are hanging out on one of the floats.
And what do you guys think about La Gordiloca?
I think it's awesome.
Well, yeah, she's always in a lot of people's business.
I just think there's better ways of her to put out her content. If she wants to be a reporter, there's better ways to do it. And there's ethics that she doesn't always follow.
Do you guys follow her posts at all or not really?
I have her on Facebook. Yeah, I do.
I don't follow her. No, I watch Real News.
Gordiloca just called me, telling me that she can't find a driver for her 18-wheeler that's supposed to pull her float. She basically said, I'll call you in 5 minutes, and hung up.
Not only that, by the time she finds a driver and a truck, the cops wouldn't let her through to her original spot, so she had to go to the Civic Center and ask the city supervisor for help.
La Gordiloca pulled it off. Her float just arrived, being pulled by a white truck, and it's carrying two giant American flags with a giant star on it and some balloons surrounding a giant copy of the Bill of Rights.
Yo, Trump wall, here we come!
The kids finally get the green light to jump up on the Gordiloca float. Today, using the float as her stage and the parade as her spotlight, she will smile and wave at her lovers and her haters. And she will remind them that nothing will stop her from fulfilling the purpose she finally seems to have found, to be their reporter, their Gordiloca.
This story was reported and produced by Andres Caballero. It was edited by Marlon Bishop and Nadia Raymond. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Chavarri, Antonia Cerejido, Ginny Montalvo, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. Our senior editor is Nadia Raymond. Our intern is Reese Williams. Our engineer and music editor is Cornelius McMoyler. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. The Wincote Foundation, supporting efforts that strengthen and enrich culture, community, and the natural environment. And with support from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund.
What's the taco scene like here?
Basically, Laredo is the taco town. Do you know what a carne asada is?
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, a story about violence and reckoning as a juvenile.
And then it wasn't until after my sister left and I looked at my hands and I realized that, oh my God, what have I done?
That's next time on Latino USA.
Hello, just dropping in to remind you about On Point, the NPR show where we take you behind the headlines. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about issues that matter most. Listen to On Point now on NPR One or wherever you listen to podcasts.